We're live.
Our community is accomplishing great things while getting together and having fun. We have parties, hang out a lot, and meet all over the world. We have some of the most awesome, greatest, coolest people on Earth. While most of the action is in the States, please don't forget the rest. Helping out the community is the thing I love to do, from making GlobPress better to helping establishing the Serbian community. I'm always excited to work on making our community better. I'm Mark Heinen, and the Dreadcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
you know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Dread.
For the Dreadcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dreadcast starts now.
Hot diggity, shucky ducky, Willy Wonka, no burritos, just tacos, whatever you want to call it. We're here for episode 44. My brother Brad, it was awesome chilling with you
on
South Beach last week. What's going
Great
on?
Great jetsu. I almost died, but I'm here. I'm alive. My voice is back. It sounds as beautiful as ever.
I think we'll talk about it a bit. We did a podcast panel, and you couldn't speak.
We did a panel all about talking online, and I couldn't. It was amazing. I sat up there and nodded. We were like Penn and Teller. It worked out great because you wouldn't stop blabbing. I'd just nod my head.
Story of my
life. That more often. I'll just sit over here and nod. And
we need to have more, you know, hidden political innuendo and magic tricks. And I think we'll have some stiff competition ready for those in Vegas. I'm excited about this episode 44. This is once we reached episodes higher than my age, I was pretty excited. This is good.
We're middle aged, baby.
Oh man,
it's time for a crisis.
It's gonna happen soon, but I think it's gonna happen soon after this episode's over. Episode 44, and we're here with Marco Heinen. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm back from Miami, so.
Yes, all three of us were in Miami. In fact, I went up to Mark and he said, "Hey, man, what's up?" We started chatting. I was like, "Yeah, you ready for the podcast?" He's like, "What podcast?" And then it clicked. You're like, "Oh, Dreadcast, that's right." You scared me for a minute. I was like, "Yeah, the one we're doing on Wednesday, that podcast."
I was still adjusting to the time difference. Come on.
I'll let it slide this time. I'll let it slide. But it was awesome. I mean, all three of us were just in Miami getting our suntan on, and here we are on an episode of Dreadcast, all in crazy remote parts of the world, right? So where are you at, Marco? Where are you at now?
I'm currently in Karlsruhe in Germany, so it's a bit late, but...
We chatted briefly before the show that you're in a very select few hosts that have hosted kind of that early or late at night or early in the morning, however you look at it. So it's about 2 a.m. local for you right now?
Yeah.
That's hardcore, and that's what we like on the Dreadcast. It's all about the hardcore, right?
And I tell you what, that probably makes them thirsty, so we should probably chat about what we're sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
I'm gonna go ahead and ruin any expectations that we might have rebuilt over the weekend here in Miami. I am sipping on a Diet Coke. It's me and fake sugar. Good times. Damn it.
Oh, man. You were sipping on a lot more than that this weekend. I can tell you that much.
I cannot confirm.
That was a lot of fun. Made up for all those water shows. Marco, what do you got over there? What's a drink of choice at 2 in the morning?
I mean, I'm almost that lame. I have like a German Coke called Afri-Cola, and has some caffeine in it, so I'm still awake, but it works.
All right. Well, I'll be the resident alcoholic. I have some private stock Captain Morgan here. It's a little bit chilly in Philly, so this is kind of warming my belly up. It feels good. So cheers, gentlemen. Here's to hopefully a good show. Don't let me down.
Salut, salut. Well, hard to let you down when you're rocking headphones like that, my friend. I mean,
my billionaire is on. Thank you, WordCamp Miami, for the speaker gift. Nothing says billionaire like gold and wood grain headphones. I'm telling
you.
These are my style.
I'm sure sound quality even exceeds the gold trim. But hey, that's a heck of a gift there to receive for sure.
they actually sound pretty good. I'm surprised.
No, I'm sure they're going to be just fine. I mean, nothing but the best for Miami speakers, I'm telling you. Marco, man, This is cool. So I've known you for a couple years. We actually met up at a few different work camps over the years, which is exciting. But you got some fun stuff going on. You've done some really cool stuff with WordPress, but I want to step it back a notch. And let's really get to the meat and potatoes of where you started in terms of development and the things that got you into this geeky world that is the internet. Before WordPress, before all of that, where did it kick off for Markle?
I started doing some, just before WordPress, I did some HP work, and also when I was 11, I did my putment work in Turbo Pascal, writing code instead of writing the stuff down, like the, some mathematics, and after that, it just slowly, I started catching up development and starting enjoying it, and I started WordPress when I went in 2006 to use it for my personal website. But it really kicked off in 2009 when I was redoing my website and when custom post types was entered. So that was also directly my first contribution to WordPress in 2010 for Trio.
It would have been WordPress, right around WordPress 3.0, right, when custom post types were introduced.
Yeah, I'm starting using the Trunk version on my own website so I could use custom post types. Then I saw some feature was still missing that it only thought about posts and pages and not the custom post types. I was like, oh, I can try to fix that. It was a funny experience and probably the thing everyone hits down, like how the hell does Subversion works?
Yeah.
That said, I still have the same feeling now, but it's getting better. And
I think we all have that feeling about Subversion.
Yeah, it doesn't get easier. You just get used to it, right?
Nobody really knows what they're doing. We're just kind of faking it better than others, I guess.
And hopefully it works, and then you're happy, right?
Yeah. Or I blow away the whole repo and start over, which happens more often than I want to admit.
Less right now, but in the beginning, yeah. Then there was like a .svn folder in every folder, and you really did some weird stuff with that.
So you started getting into some development, play with some custom post types, learn SVN. Where'd you go from there? So that was around, you said, 2009. Has it been that long since custom post types? Man, I guess
seems a while, but yeah, I think
it's that long.
It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but I guess it probably has been. That's crazy. That just kind of clicked. You're talking 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, time flies by. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So you're kind of diving in more. So how's that kind of grown over the years? Because, you know, you've been around WordPress for a while. Like Dre said, I think we also met a few years ago as well. So tell us how you went from kind of dabbling and hacking your own stuff and where that grew, where you went from there.
After that, I went to work in Netherlands 2011. It was still a bit quiet for like 3.1, 3.2, 3.3. I didn't contribute it back. So after I was at work in the Netherlands, I wanted to speak more, at least trying to speak, so I was searching like on WordCamp.org, and my first WordCamp I spoke at was in Norway in 2012. Not in my own country, but someone else that you have to speak in English. It was a fun experience, and from there, things started rolling. So for WordPress 3.4, they had like groups where you could join, and I was like, well, I'm happy to join. I want to work in a group because that makes contributing to WordPress easier. So I worked together with Max Cutler and with Westy to make the XMLRPC more useful.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is, I owe you quite a few drinks because that takes someone special to work in XMLRPC, I feel like. It's just, and it's, I don't know, it's tough, right? But it's obviously a vital, important part of WordPress today.
The thing is that what makes it tough is not XMLRPC itself, but you need to know WordPress by all the functions it has. So it touches users, it touches post type, it touches everything what you want to publish. So it's not like, okay, we're going to focus only on post types.
Right. But and if you're not familiar with XMLRPC, I mean, that's essentially the API, the external API that's built into WordPress. Obviously, at some point it will be deprecated in favor of a REST. That is the API, and that's what all, I'm pretty sure all mobile apps are actually powered through XMRPC. So if you're using a native mobile app on your phone, you should probably buy Marco a drink the next time you see him because he worked on XMRPC. See how I did that? I'm trying to hook you up, man. This is how you have to present it.
Yeah, and every drink I get, I owe you one, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying this is a pyramid scheme to get Brad drinks, but it might be.
Man, Brad's going to have the FCC nailing us for Ponzi schemes on the air.
Biggest beer-buying pyramid scheme ever.
A pyramid scheme. I like where this is going.
Pyramid. Now we're talking. No, but that's pretty cool. So you're getting into XML RPC. WordCamp Norway's pretty amazing event. Where are we going from there?
So after that, I did some work on 352, and I also started to play with the WP Image Editor. So all that code was always hard-coded in WordPress, what didn't make really sense. So together with Mike Schroeder, Shredder. He's going to kill me on Skype right now, probably.
I just call him Shredder. Isn't that what everybody calls him, Shredder?
Yeah, that's true. And we started working together at WordCamp San Francisco to abstract all the code and making that better. And that was basically the last real contribution I did. I did still some small stuff, but like the big things, that was like the code I'm still the most proud of. People are using it in a cool way, so there is like a project that if you upload an image with a face on it, it will crop the face as a center point. And it allows people to do really cool stuff, so we now have like Imagic support, what makes the colors in the pictures better. So it doesn't destroy like GD does it, and it saves the information, like the XF information. So bit by bit, WordPress becomes some really pretty awesome tool to use.
I think it's cool. So, I mean, it's kind of fun to hear about your progression from someone who had a WordPress site to started dabbling under the hood of WordPress to actually contributing back to the code base of WordPress. So, how did you get to the core of WordPress? What was kind of that first thing where you're like, you know what, I want to contribute back, or maybe I'll take a stab at this. Like, what was that first step into core contribution for you?
Yeah, the first step was probably the most wrong one. I was like, there was with the post type of 3.0, there was an issue with the rewrite API. I know where the mistake was, but I had no clue to fix it. So I had a talk with Andrew Nation. Yeah, and I had a talk with Andrew Nation about it, and he fixed it. And then I saw like with you can attach media files to a post, and that was only for posts and pages. So I started working on that, and so Andrew Nason really helped me to do that, since and because of that, it was really easy to contribute back. And because of that first step, you get to know like one of the contributors, and it really helps a lot then to contribute back, because you have someone to ask questions, to fall back. And from that little step, that's what I did till now.
Yeah, and that's I think that story and stories you've heard on past shows just really speaks to the community, right? Like I know we would all agree that this is a very open community that is always willing to help anybody that shows up, whether they're a known person in the community or not. If it's a new person in the community that shows a little bit of interest, there's a lot of people that would love to take them under their wing and kind of show them the ropes and help them along the way, and hopefully by doing that, we're growing the community and growing the contributor base out there. And that's one of the reasons I fell in love with the WordPress community, because everyone is so open and approachable. And there's been other platforms and communities that I've been around where it wasn't really the case. You know, you didn't really feel like you could approach some of these people that were kind of, you know, above you or bigger, you know, community members. So I think it's awesome to hear you say that, because I fully agree with that too. And I think it's great for people to hear that.
Yeah, I do believe it's getting a bit harder now, since the community and the contributor base getting bigger and bigger.
True, yeah.
But this is something we should never forget. So I really try to help people who want to contribute back, and add them on Skype, or at least getting a better connection with them, that they feel appreciated to contribute back, and that they don't have like, yeah, I added a patch and it's still there for like 2 years. I think that's, if you can't fix that, then it's really hard to get to gain them in the community. And I think we do getting better and better in that.
Well, it's almost deflating, right? It's like, you know, and I've seen it in the past. I think it has gotten better, but it's like you go in, you contribute these patches or your time into, oh my gosh, I really want to be a part of this, and then, you know, grab a Snickers bar. It's going to be a while before anybody gets those patches, right? And it's deflating. It's like, well, shoot, you know, is this going to happen every time I put a patch in? I mean, that kind of sucks. And I don't think that's the case as it was in the past. I think it's gotten tremendously cleaner in terms of your path from initial patch into getting those patched, or at least getting some type of idea as to why it isn't patched, or what dependencies are involved to getting your patches submitted and getting props for them. So, yeah, I like where it's heading.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because right, there's sometimes just submitting a patch and just getting someone to actually respond to you is as good of a feeling as getting the patch accepted, you know, the first try. Right. It's just like, oh yeah, someone's actually interested in what I've done here and they want to talk about it. You know, but you're right, I know what you're saying, Dre. Like sometimes you submit something that's just like, hello, can someone look at this please? I'd feel better if someone would look at this. So it's, yeah, I get it. And Marco, to your point, you're right. As the community gets bigger, it's always going to be a challenge to kind of keep that openness and keep, you know, at least the openness might be there. It might be harder to project that it is there. Sure. Like people might get lost and think it's too big. Like I can't get involved when, no, you absolutely can. Dive into the dev chat. Go up to someone at a WordCamp. I can promise you, if you come up to any one of us three at a WordCamp, we would love to chat with you about whatever it is you want to talk about, WordPress or anything.
Absolutely.
I mean, so it's a very approachable community, and it's one of the things I love about it. So, but keep rolling forward, because we could definitely talk about the community all day long, because we love it. So you are very involved in GlotPress, and I'd love to hear about how that started. Maybe if any listeners aren't familiar with GlotPress, why don't we start with what is GlotPress, and then we can kind of dive into how you got started with that and where you're at.
So GlotPress is basically translate.wordpress.org, at least. That's the biggest site we have. And it's a collaborative web-based software translation tool. So it allows everyone like us to translate WordPress from English to, say, Dutch. And that's the main goal to do it. It's a really awesome project to work on because it touches the whole community, too.
Yeah, it's essentially a separate project that is included within WordPress, right? So GlotPress is used inside of WordPress for the internationalization or localization component of it. But it can also be used with other projects, right? It's not just WordPress specific. As I understand, I'm definitely not a GlotPress expert, but is that the case? So you can take GlotPress and if you want to start your own open source project, you could use GlotPress?
Yeah, so it's really heavily tied to WordPress. And they always say it's that the things we do for GlotPress is always important, that it really fits well for WordPress. I always try to also see features that are outside. So there was one guy who added a patch and who worked on it to have array support for Android translations. So in Android, you can have collections of values. So for a select box, you can group them. And he worked on it, and I committed that also, so that it makes for Android users better. And he uses GlotPress to translate his Android apps.
That's awesome.
That was for me really awesome to see because it's giving more meaning to that kind of apps. And if the problem, I think, based that GlotPress was a little bit dying, that it didn't have a lot of changes like a few years ago, was because it was too heavily tied to WordPress.
Right, so if you're not into WordPress, then GlotPress would mean nothing to you, and you wouldn't want to touch the project. But if it was, outside of WordPress or a separate project and wasn't directly tied to it, then certainly it would have a much wider audience, much more interest, right?
Yeah, but it's always finding the right balance. So obviously, we always need to get in focus with WordPress because that's our biggest audience. And we also want to help it. I'm a WordPress contributor, so I want to help the WordPress community too, and that's how I started leading GlotPress, because it didn't have the right intention, and we didn't need that the tool was getting better and not dying out, that didn't have the right features anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you got involved with GlotPress, you've been working on it for a little while now, right? Were you part of the team that kind of helped revive it?
No, I started working on it a year ago, so there was like already 700 commits done. And since last year, I was like, I think I talked about it or something. At one point, I think it was Zay that said, like, yeah, give Marco commit access. We're like, wait, what? I can do that, but and often I didn't do a lot of commits in the beginning because I was too scared to break things.
You got the finger on the trigger. It can be a little bit scary, right?
Yeah, and obviously that happened one time because I was working on it, and apparently at that point, if they commit stuff to .org and they say, okay, put it on the website, and GlotPress was also synced. So in between, I was working on in two commits. In between, they synced also the GlobPress code. And it was broken, and it was like, I could not, I fixed it immediately, but it was like, can someone please put this on the website right now? I broke stuff.
Real quickly.
Yeah, and so, off.
So is Glop, is that automatically pulled into, like, WordPress trunk? I mean, is that something that's merged in on occasion or right before release, or how does that all work?
How do you mean? So basically how GlobPress works is we only have trunk. So we always work in there. And yeah. Occasionally they change the change set number on WordPress.org.
And that's what pulls that over.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. I think one of the points that you made or something you said that I thought was really interesting is how you kind of, it's harder previously about getting into WordPress, you know, contributing to WordPress is much harder because WordPress is a lot larger. There's a lot more people contributing. And now you're kind of on the GlotPress side of things, and now you're a committer, right? In a very short amount of time, you've went from getting into GlotPress to contributing. We've talked about this on past shows, especially around things like BuddyPress. Like, it's actually really cool to see contributors that want to contribute to WordPress but realize, you know, WordPress, there's a lot of people there. And I'm not saying you shouldn't contribute to WordPress. I'm definitely not saying that. But there's a lot of other very important projects that are really fun to get into that have a much smaller contributor base that you could, within a short amount of time, have a really big impact. You know, GlotPress, probably BackPress, is that still around? BuddyPress for sure, BBPress for sure. Like these kind of sister projects of WordPress that if you're really looking to get involved, I mean, in my opinion, that's where I would start because they are absolutely need contributors and they would love to have anybody on board. Whereas WordPress, don't get me wrong, you should contribute to WordPress, but there's a lot of people already doing it, so it can be much harder to get traction if you're a new contributor.
Yeah, it's basically how you are. So for me, WordPress is kind of hard because of a lot of politics around it. But I totally understand, but it's sometimes a bit hard to deal with it that you don't want to. So for me, GlotPress is like, okay, I can do what I want. I now work together with, I think it's like Yoff? Or how to pronounce it. Yeah. And he now helps out a lot, so it's because he contributes and make a lot of changes now too, then I'm also more eager to do so because you're working together, making an awesome project. And that works for me really well because you can work directly with someone, making something better. And for WordPress, it does work. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's a bit slow maybe. You need to have the time and...
Well, and if you look at the GlotPress site, there was, I think, a fine lull between some of the updates that happened there. But when you look at last month, there was some pretty big stuff. Yoav was actually involved with the glossaries that were released with that update came out mid-month last month. And you guys also put out project branching specific to GlotPress. So how is that working for you guys now that you're about a month since that release?
There are still some little bugs in there. I think he's trying to fix those. So this code was the branching was already there was already a patch for like more than 1.5 years.
Yeah.
And we finally had the time to look into it at WordCamp Europe. I had the time and create some little patches around it to make fixes. We started to work on it. And the first time it kind of broke for WordPress.org. Because it had that much data that it didn't really work that well, but we're getting better and better, and especially the branching is really important to make things easier for WordPress.org because we want core to be easy to be to doing that stuff, but also on if we're going to include all the plugins, that's a requirement. You need automatization to be able to do that kind of things. So we're really working on making that step better so that we can add plugins towards it, and together with the whole team now, and especially with Google Summer of Code project,
sure.
I'm pretty sure in a few months we have some really awesome project that's done.
How do you manage that? I mean, you've got so much in terms of contributions that you've been involved with, that you're currently involved with. How do you manage that with your day-to-day? If I'm not mistaken, you work for 1&1, one of the world's largest hosting providers, big company. How did that come about, 1&1, the relationship there, working there? And how do you manage, really, your great contributions and your day-to-day?
Managing is pretty... I would not say it's really hard to do, especially because 101 is new to WordPress. So I need to educate, is maybe the wrong word, poor choice of words, but educate the company to be better in handling with communities, contributing back, sponsoring WordCamps. It's a really big company, so it goes step by step. And the way I ended up working for 101 was just before WordCamp San Francisco last year, I got a headhunter asking me, like, yeah, this hosting company, they need someone. If it was something for me, it was like, yeah, I'm not the kind of person who should work at a hosting company. And I was like, well, let's give it a try. So at WordCamp San Francisco, when I just arrived in San Francisco the next morning, I went to Automatic office. And in the morning, I had a Skype session with those people. And it's an interesting job. And for me, it makes sense to go to them, to work for them, because they also sent me to WordCamps. They pay for that instead of that. I always had to pay myself.
Sure.
They gave me the time also to contribute back. What till now didn't really work that well out because of all the projects I'm working on. But at a certain point, like in a few months, that will be the case. And then managing also contributions is way easier than freelancing because you always have customers, clients that have projects. They always demand that you fix them. And I'm pretty sure in like a month or two when my apartment is done that I can finally have some peace that I can contribute back more to WordPress, to GlobPress, hopefully more to BuddyPress and to other WordPress plugins. Because I really like to contribute also more to WordPress plugins because our customers are using them and those plugins what are used the most. I really want to contribute back because for us as a hosting company, it makes sense to have a really good communication with plugin developers because of WordPress, because of those plugins, we have a really big customer base that uses WordPress.
Certainly.
I love seeing that the hosting companies really just, I feel like really just in the past year or two, really embrace WordPress, embrace the community. I mean, I think every major host that I know has some kind of person that they've hired specifically for WordPress, you know, just like a WordPress specialist, a WordPress evangelist, whatever it is, on staff to kind of help them not only understand how they can work with WordPress companies better, users better, like just understand kind of the community of WordPress and how we work and what we want and the tools that we need. And I mean, it's been amazing to see that just in the last couple of years, because prior to that, there was none of that. It was just like, oh, well, you have WordPress. Great. Yeah, you could host it here if you want. But there was nothing specific to WordPress. They didn't know what WP CLI was. They didn't care. Like, you know, they just wanted you to host on their platform, which is fine. But it's nice to see them really putting a focus on certain platforms like WordPress and say, look, if you use WordPress, here's the tool set we give you specifically for WordPress. We have people we've hired just for WordPress to teach us about WordPress, to go to WordCamps and talk to people. They're sponsored WordPress. I mean, it's just really awesome to see that. And 101 is one of those companies that I just have a lot of respect for doing that. Bringing on people like you on staff, you know?
I think we were like probably the last big hosting company that did that. But we are evolving that and to make it better. So we also have a Joomla contributor now since last month. We did talk even to hire a Type 3, but probably that one is slowing down because it doesn't really fit well as a hosting company, I think, at least. But we also tried to see if we can hire a PHP or a MySQL MySQL contributor or really a good guy who can do that. Because it makes sense for us internally, but also for me, it would be awesome to have a PHP contributor because that could help also WordPress really good. So that a guy like that could help us to have a better...
So if you're a PHP contributor, then you should be reaching out to 101 right now. Looks like they might be interested in finding somebody.
Yeah, but that, for me that would be awesome because it makes sense also for WordPress to have a really good communication with PHP, with MySQL, with what we already have like with jQuery, for example.
Man, building the community, just like the group that you put together or that you're a part of now in Serbia. Let's talk about that a little bit because here recently you guys have kicked off a new meetup. WordPress meetup in Serbia, and man, you know these great meetup groups are kind of rearing their heads everywhere these days. Talk about that a bit because I've done it recently or at one point, and there is a bit of overhead to that in terms of figuring out how are you going to sustain the group and grow it. How's that going for you guys?
It's pretty well. So last year, I had that crazy idea after basically 2 years ago with Community Summit that well, there should be a meetup, there should be something in Serbia. And after that, I sent like an email to Vladimir. I was like, well, what do you think? Should we set up a meetup? And well, he said like, yeah, fine, you can use my office. And the first meetup was held last year in March. It was the only meetup that year. And I organized it together with some other guys there. And we had 30, 35 people over there. And it was basically fully packed because Moore was not able. So a few people were disappointed that he couldn't join. And the most funny part was like that I think it was Milan Ivanovic that said something like, I had to go outside Serbia to see how big the community is in Serbia. And I still, but this by this day, I still like that comment because it did make sense. Like, they, all those guys have my respect for me that I set up a meetup. It's like, why? It's just it's effort in time, but building communities in that kind of countries where there is not yet like a meetup makes totally sense. And now, like last month and a few days ago, they had a meetup again, and now like with 80, 90 people.
That's amazing.
Now have a really, with work in Europe, I also connected the Serbian guys with the Croatian ones because they already started meetup last year. And it's really awesome to see how fast the community grows there. And
that's awesome. I mean, it obviously was a need, right? Or else it wouldn't have grown that fast. There's obviously a lot of like-minded people there that wanted it, right? That's awesome. And I mean, WordCamp Europe, what a great event. So it's really cool to hear that you guys connected through that, connected more through that, I guess.
Well, it's that the WordCamp Europe was like the place where those people were together because, well, it's that great of that really big event. So those people joined. It was like, when I found out those two from both countries, people were coming. It's like, okay, now I need to set up everyone there. And I was like basically pulling people away, like, okay, here you have to go to that Croatian guy. Please talk with each other. And at one point, like in 10 minutes, the whole group, all the Croatian, all the Serbian guys were there together talking about it. And I think for even with their history, it's really good that they connect because it's kind of the same language. It's more like dialect, so it's really good to have it there. And I can't wait for WordCamp Serbia. Hopefully next year, in the beginning of next year.
I'll tell you what, that's awesome. Building bridges, not barriers, my friend. Let's go ahead and move on to this week's pressing topics.
Word.
Topics of the week.
Community, man, I tell you what, we had a good week in this this past Saturday and Sunday, actually Friday, Saturday and Sunday, hanging out in Miami for WordCamp Miami. Talk about community, man. That was a jam-packed event. It was a good time. We had folks obviously coming in from overseas to across the country, and it turned out to be pretty slick. What'd you guys think of the event?
It was awesome. For me, it was the first Buddy Camp, so I did play with Buddy Press, but not enough. So it was really a learning event for me that what they discussed there and see what they're working on. It was an awesome event. Like, the weather was pretty awesome, and there was like a lot of guys that I wanted to talk with like you guys and like with Mike.
I didn't saw
because it's all over the ocean, so it's not that you see each other like on monthly basis, like, oh, there's the next work camp and I will see Brett again, for example. So it's interesting. That's the reason why I always go back to the U.S. to at least have a better connection with the community over there.
Yeah, Miami is a really great event. Obviously, it's, you know, twist my arm, go to Miami, right? So I think that's why a lot of people like to go, because it's just a beautiful place full of, like, really, really beautiful people. Like, I definitely feel much of it. It's a good thing, right? Like, I love Miami. I'm just saying that to be funny. But it's a great town. I had a great time. I mean, Dre, you know, other than, like, completely destroying my voice in the first day so I couldn't even talk on the podcast panel, other than that, I had an awesome time. So much I wanted to say and I couldn't say, but it was, you know, I would tap twice or once for yes and twice for no. I don't know. It was a great time, though. And Dre, we gotta, we don't want to toot our own horn, but I think we need to show off what we got when we were in Miami. So we are on the podcasting panel, right? With let's see, we had Jeff and Sarah from WordPress Weekly and a few others. But they presented us with these cool little podcasting trophies. If you're watching on the live feed, you can take a look at it. It has our names on them. It says we're from the Dradcast. But it was a lot of fun to be up there with kind of our peers in the podcasting world, and well, me nodding, but Dre talking about podcasting, and just seeing the interest that people had in it. It seemed like there was a lot of interest. I mean, the room had a lot of people in it, and everyone seemed to enjoy it, and a lot of people in that room knew who all of us were. Like, they listened to our shows, and they enjoyed the content we're putting out, so that was pretty humbling.
It was very humbling. I mean, for me, you know, I think the biggest thing for me being part of the WordPress community for so long is that I really suck at content creation or sustaining constant content creation, right? Like, so blogs and just putting out content through WordPress's initial kind of way of doing it, it's always been challenging for me. So when I was able to team up with Brad to start this show, this has been a consistent way, a sustainable way for me to get out what I'm feeling, what I'm wanting to do in terms of content creation and gain some type of audience. And it's been amazing. It's certainly a different way than the traditional WordPress way, but it's enabled me to kind of have a voice in a really big way over the internet. And it was kind of neat to walk in that room and have folks applauding us. Like, they do enjoy it. I really thought we only had like 3 listeners, one being my mother. I guess we have a few more than that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I also have to point out, and I dropped the ball on this one. Like, I should have had my drink in this, but they had these on Buddy Camp on Friday. They gave out these amazing, like, almost like a whiskey glass with the Buddy Press logo, and the bottom's orange. I mean, these things are, this is nice. This is probably one of the best glasses I've actually gotten at an event. So I'll be drinking out of this next week, I can promise you that. But we're really all about the free swag here. So the more stuff you give us, the more we're going to talk about you. I'm just kidding.
Feel free to email us at brad@dreadcast.com.
Mark, to your point, man, it's just, I mean, it's so cool to see people. And there were so many people there from outside the U.S. I mean, there's a lot more than I realized were going to be there. Like, majority of Human Made, I think all the partners were awesome. There. Yeah. Marco, you were there. I mean, there was just a lot of people. Javon was there. Like, so many people from overseas came to Miami. It was just really cool to see everybody.
Yeah, I even met a few guys from the Netherlands, or at least are from Curaçao, but it was one guy I never saw. He was never at a WordCamp in the Netherlands. He just started like for 7 months with WordPress, and he was decided WordCamp Miami would have been his first WordCamp. I was like, that's just awesome. And I had a great time with him and meeting, and I was even able to speak my own language. Always better than to speak English for me.
That's great. I think we all agree it's a pretty amazing event. They did. It was a pretty action-packed buddy camp, and they also had a kids workshop, right? So that was on Friday. Was it the kids workshop?
Saturday. I think
it was Friday, or was it Sunday?
No, it was Sunday.
Saturday. All right.
Throw all the days.
At some point between Friday and Sunday, there was a kids workshop. I mean, what do you guys think? Like, I think it's a pretty cool idea. I saw a picture of they had a picture of all the kids and some of the people that were, you know, the teachers or whatever of the classes. But I really think I've seen that at a few WordCamps in the past, not many. But I think the idea of kind of having workshops focused on kids using WordPress and kind of getting publishing content responsibly, I think is a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I've got like 40 kids, man. That'd be awesome. In-depth training of WordPress at a WordCamp. That's legit. I haven't seen that too much. I've seen some WordCamp like sessions that were specifically for children. But man, that's a pretty big session to be setting up just for kids, and I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah, same here. I would love to see something like that in Europe, but I guess the group is just too small. But yeah, I still want to learn my little sister to work with WordPress, so I have someone that can do my work too.
I guarantee you some of the parents are thinking that, like, once I have this kid writing some good content or knowing how to install plugins and move widgets around, I'll have a little worker on my team.
What do you want to do more? Like having a paperwork, like bringing papers around, the newspapers, or working on the laptop and writing code?
Or coding my websites for me.
I don't mind paying the full that's power. Awesome.
All right, so let's talk about some statistics.
Oh, I'm glad you pay you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We've got a post that was released here at Hacker Target that talks to some stats that they put out based on Alexa's Yahoo Alexa's top 500 sites, which really talks to the percentage over that that sample of 500,000 websites. 20.9% of those sites are running WordPress. Now, I've seen a few different numbers, and it could likely be skewed a bit because the sample size isn't all websites out there. And I've seen some numbers that are actually even higher than the 20.9% out there. But that's a pretty telling sign of what we've seen year over year, which is about a percent growth almost, I'd say, on average every year the last 3-4 years. Sound about right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's always fun at the State of the Word in San Francisco to hear what that stat is. So last year, when was that? In July? It was over the summer when we heard the stat. This year, it's going to be in October, so it'll be over a year, close to a year and a half. So the stat, you know, it just keeps going up every year, and every year it just blows me away what that number means when you really, truly think about that. 20%, 21%, like that's insane. And of course, these stats, if you read the article we'll have in the show notes, that, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt because they're looking for things like, how do they detect if it's WordPress? They're looking for things like WP content. You know, that's not, is it going to hit most sites? Sure, but it's not 100%. It can't be perfect, right? So they're close, but they're not perfect. But it's kind of neat to see. So they have a list of the top 20 plugins from those WordPress sites. Any guesses out there as listeners to what the number one plugin is? I'll pause for like 2 seconds before I tell you what it is. Because nothing says great radio like dead air, so I'll just pause. So the number one plugin that they actually detected was Contact Form 7. Surprising? Does that surprise you guys?
Not a bit, but I know that we prepackaged the plugin anyway, so...
well, you're part of the problem. No, I'm just kidding. So out of 104,000 plus WordPress sites, there's just over 24,000 that they detected Contact Form 7 on. And the second highest plugin was WordPress SEO from Yoast, which was around just over 15,000, which that one I get. I understand that one for sure. I'm actually surprised that one's not number one, a little bit higher. But definitely some cool numbers. And did you guys see the hosting?
Before we go to the host piece, one thing I want to kind of bring up there is that they don't really talk to, you know, plugins can be scanned for whether they're active or not. So that doesn't really speak to if these are actively used or if they're just sitting in a directory on a server somewhere. So I think
take these numbers with a grain of salt for sure. These are not like, this is not a CNN poll of polls, which you should take those numbers with a grain of salt too. But, that's for another show. So actually, they have themes, they have hosting, so themes are interesting too. So what's the number one theme that they detected? The number one standardized theme besides like custom. It is Genesis, actually, with just under 3,000. That one's not surprising. I kind of expected. I would expect either a default WordPress theme or something like Genesis there.
No, but to come back to the plugins one, what surprised me is these are like the more popular ones, that WP Polls is like the seventh one. I had to use it one time and had some interesting problems with it.
Seems high for WP Polls.
Yeah.
There's a couple on here I'm kind of like, really? Like, people are like, Comment Love? Really? Top 20 plugins, Comment Love's on there? Like, I remember hearing about that 5 years ago, but I don't think I've heard anyone mention that in the past 4 or 5 years.
I never, this is the first time I see the plugin even.
Yeah, it's, you know, and who knows? Some of these are probably installed and never touched again, although it's, you know, Top 500 sites according to Alexa, so it's pretty wild. So what's the number one host? So there's a lot of hosts out here. In fact, 101 made the top 10.
Not bad.
The number one host, I never would have guessed because I've never actually heard of them. Unified Layer. I guess it's a host out there, but it's pretty neat. It's, you know, stats are fun. They're probably boring as we talk about them on air, but it's fun to kind of look at and digest in person. So we'll definitely drop this in the show notes or maybe kind of peek at this on their own time. Yeah.
It's a shame that they didn't get the Cloudflare away because it's not really a hosting company.
Yeah, I feel like if there's a layer in between the client and the host, like it grabs that layer, like Cloudflare. Yeah. And Unified Layer, I'm assuming, might even be a layer kind of in between. It may not be a hosting company because I'm not familiar with them. But I think they don't know what the host is if you kind of have that, you know, service in between.
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting stats, but I think the really cool thing, like you said, Dre, is that, you know, the one stat that's probably the most accurate out of the bunch is the fact that 20.9% of the top 500 Alexa-ranked sites are running WordPress, which is pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, that's nasty, dude. You know, I think it'll continue to grow for quite a while, but we don't want that to be all websites, right? I mean, that could, you know, as it continues to rise, I mean, how does that hold us in terms of innovating and continuing to drive forward, becoming more awesome, if we don't really have anything to strive for?
Yeah,
we take over the world, and it's like, all right, what next? So it's good to see the number rising.
Want it to keep going up. Don't want it to ever be 100%. Don't want it to really be close to 100%, right? But going up for now is good, because we're still in a nice spot.
Word up. Oh, man. Well, hey, how about we do this? Let's move to this week's Bart Tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Dad. I love that one. So awesome.
Oh, man. Well, let's our guest host, Marco. Rock and roll, baby. What do you got for this week's bar trick?
Since we're talking about stats, I'm a little bit plugging my own stuff. It's wpcentral.io, and what I'm trying to do there is more actively showing the stats of WordPress. So what I have now is I'm trying to get the first in usage and the download count, so you see a history about how WordPress 3.9 got downloaded. And I'm also building an internalization page where you can see all the languages we have, if they have a website, and if they are actually up to date or not. I'm trying to get more stats over there that you have, like what Yoast once did, that you show all the stats, how many got it downloaded on year base. It's kind of that, but then dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see how fast things download when there's like a new release out, that suddenly it only downloaded like 300,000 a day, and suddenly it's like 1.5 or 2 million downloads in one day. So it shows a bit of history of WordPress, and I still need to also show the old data, and it's an interesting project, and I'm really curious what kind of data I can show, like, for example, how many contributions we had during every release, and showing a graph that makes it easier to understand WordPress.
So is this just WordPress, like, download stats in general, or is this WordPress downloads specifically for 1&1?
No, in general.
In general, so you're pulling stats like per day on downloads and stuff. How are you getting those numbers?
So the version uses is easier. The download one is basically cron job every minute getting the download number of wordpress.org/download/counter, and I store it in the database, and from there out I can create this kind of information.
That's neat. I mean, stuff like this is cool, especially once you have a bit of a history behind it, because then you can really kind of drill back into the stats. This is fun.
So I think I started doing stats since 3.5 or 3.6, but I still need to make a UI that you can go release by release. But yeah, it's more like a play project and see what kind of cool stats I can bring up, and hopefully, awesome.
You combine point releases in here as well. So, would it be accurate to say you combine point releases in here as well? Because I'm looking at Friday of last week, which would have been the 8th or the 9th, and it's right after the 3.9.1 release, and it just doubles. Yeah. That's awesome.
So I had some malfunction when I was updating the server, so I lost some data there, but I still have a backup server that also gets all the data, so I still need to pull from that server to this one. Because it's
jumped with the release. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
maybe we can get Otto to commit to some kind of a little API to pull some stats so we can get some you know, completely accurate numbers. You know that they have all that. That'd be awesome if they...
I'm not sure about the downloads, but I do know about the version used it. So Dion did add a parameter so that I can request it on date level for like 80 months back. So I still need to do that. Then I can make a graph. Just then you see better how the PHP usage is different, because that's always an issue. How you don't know how the PHP was changed over the last year, and it's sometimes really good to know as a plugin developer that you know, okay, PHP 5.5 was last year only 0.2% and now it's 1.2. So you can make decisions around these numbers.
That's awesome. Man, well, I love stats. In fact, I'm gonna kind of head that route because I've been like on a metrics kick lately and testing things lately to see kind of where those metrics lead me and making decisions, informed decisions based on those numbers. And one of the things that I've been doing more of or getting more involved with over the last probably year, even the last 6 months more so, is A/B testing and really kind of taking and trying to optimize some of the properties that I'm involved with and the stuff that I'm involved with. Because it's neat to be able to do more with less, right? So instead of going out and banking on ads and these huge marketing budgets, why not optimize what you already have and tweak it to increase your potentials for conversions? So one of the things, one of the tools that I use is Optimizely, and I may have talked about it in the past, but Optimizely is a really cool tool that uses some JavaScript and allows you to pretty seamlessly add variations to a specific page or a specific portion of your funnel to test to see kind of which variation makes the most sense. So go check it out if you get a chance. It's a really cool tool, really simple to use. The reporting is really neat in terms of ways to figure out which ones are working. It does a lot of the calculations for you on the fly. And if you use this in conjunction with something like Mixpanel and Google Analytics, even Crazy Egg, so you can see kind of heat maps and real metrics, man, you get a really good holistic view of your funnels and tracking those conversions and where you may be getting some slippage or where maybe you need to tweak to really direct your users into a more efficient path to payment success. So there you have it.
Nobody wants slippage, so that's definitely something you should check out.
Yeah.
My bar trick this week is a new plugin released by who other than the plugin master, Mr. Pippin Williamson. It's called Transience Manager. So if you're a dev like me, you like zeros and ones, and if you actually know what you're doing, you're using transients. Transients are basically a cache that expires, right? So you can set a piece of cache, store some data in it. Say I want this to expire in 24 hours, and it will just pull that data for 24 hours, and when that expiration hits, it will rebuild the cache. Great way to do things like featured posts or like Twitter statuses, because you don't want to hit the Twitter API on every page load, cache it, and check it every 5 or 10 minutes instead of every page load. So Pippin has this plugin called Transience Manager, and it's great because transients, by their nature, are behind the scenes. So if you're a developer, that can be a little frustrating if you're building code around transients. So this allows you to see your transients, check the values, you can search transients, and you can actually edit them, which is cool. So if something's not quite working right, you go in there and edit the value of the transient, figure out what's not quite right, and then adjust your code, and you can delete transients. So if you're trying to make sure that it's caching properly and stuff, very specific developers, but a very cool and friendly tool, and being built by Pippin, you know it's going to be a rockstar plugin. So check it out. The plugin is called Transience Manager, and it's on WordPress.org.
Booyah. Man, this show, and like all others with awesome hosts, went by entirely too quick, but we've got some cool events coming up, folks, that we want to kind of highlight. This week coming up, Belo Horizonte, which is a place down in Brazil. I know some of the security team will be down there. And there's also WordCamp Charleston going on this weekend. So a couple events, in different continents. So very good. If you're local, go check them out. Become a part of the awesome that is WordCamp Nation. What's coming up here soon? We've got Philly, June 7th through the 8th.
Philly.
I know the Dragcast will be together. A few events going on that weekend, but there's a live Dragcast from what I'm hearing. That might be happening. I'm hoping so. So make sure to join us there, followed up by Chicago the following weekend, and shortly thereafter, a little bit down the road, about a month out, we've got New York. I think I'll be at all three of those events, so I'm excited and hope to see you all there. Hey, Margo, any events that you've got planned in the short term?
It's WordCamp Philly and Hamburg, so both of the WordCamps, one-on-one will probably sponsor, so we should be there, hopefully with more one-on-one people that they can understand the community better. After that, we have San Francisco and WordCamp Europe, but that takes a few months.
Well, we hope to see you in Philly. That'll be nice. I know we will be over there. I'm excited to go spend some time with the Rad of Drad. Man, it's been a great episode. Marco, you know, where can folks find you? If they're really looking to kind of contact you, whether it's Twitter, your blog, how do people get a hold of you?
It's basically Twitter, Marco Heinen, or markheinen.com. Use the contact form. Add me on Skype if needed. Also, Marco Heinen. It's not that hard to find me, so... If you really need me, then you probably can find somewhere how to contact me.
Love it. Remember, Glob Press, folks, there are plenty of places to find them. There, Mr. Bradford, where can we find you, fine sir?
Yes, Twitter. Stalk me. Williams, VA. Bah.
Oh, man. And I am Dre Maida. In most worlds, one and one makes two. On the Dragcast, it makes one awesome guest host. Marco, not only are you a great host, you're a great contributor, and we appreciate everything you have done for WordPress, my friend. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses on the way out, folks. Thanks for tuning in to episode 44 with the one and only Marco Heinen. We're out, folks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus some new guest hosts next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the... A Dradcast. Yeah.